Ralph Carlos was just teaching us to do the mambo.
Oh. Carlos was teaching us to do the mambo. Oh, that puts a different light on everything. For a minute there, when I walked in here, I didn't know what you were doing. Now I know. Carlos was teaching us the mambo. Oh, that makes a world of difference. Yeah. Everybody. Out.
The president is fun.
And you, at your age, should be ashamed of yourself. Now out. Quits for today. You'll call it quits for today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year you'll call it quits. And as for you, Rudolph Valentino, out!
Testing, testing, hot out, brown cow, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny here?
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
And welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you hurricanes, Bensonhurst bombers, and pals of ours? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Joining us, denizens of the deep.
The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey. That's where you can listen to the show, non-productive.com/honeymooners. Also, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe wherever you subscribe. And also, if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. We've gotten a couple of really cool reviews. One guy never gave a review ever and gave a review.
Yeah, he only reviewed two podcasts his entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
We were one of them.
Thank you. But our home base, of course, is the non-productive website. And also like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. And this is episode number 7. And there's a specific reason why we always give you the episode. But we, as you know, if you heard last week's episode, you heard the disclaimer. And we'll just tell you that we screwed up. We gave you the same trivia question twice. Right. Because
Not the answer. We didn't screw up the answer. The answers are correct.
Right. But we gave the same question for episode 3 as episode 6. Because we never write anything down. I wish you could see Louis right now. He is sitting there and there is nothing in front of him.
No.
Nothing in front of him.
No production sheet. Nothing.
I have a little sheet here. And there's hardly anything written
there's
on it.
There's two words written on it.
It's really, really ridiculous. And at least with that, we should be a little bit more mindful on the trivia question. Because, you know, hey, listen, dialogue is dialogue. But, hey, dum-dums, how about we get the right question, give the right answer. It's the one thing that's different on every that we have to do.
How about if we just listen to our own podcast so we know what we asked the week before?
Yes. So, but yes, episode number 7. We appreciate you guys giving us a listen, and we're getting really, really great response from this from Honeymooners fans, and even some people who aren't the biggest fans of it.
No.
They're checking it out.
They call them the casual fan.
The casual
which
fan.
Which we want to make into the DEFCON 3
fan. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that would be I forgot what there's a something tipping. There's some sort of it was some sort of business thing that I saw on a YouTube video once. The tipping of something or another. Yeah, but yeah, me and business. Yeah, I'm about as business minded as Ralph Cramden was. I really was. I'm not
$3.31 in the bank.
Yeah. I'm a big boy, and my wife has red hair. So. What else? Well, I mean, and my part-time job is that I drive a vehicle. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just I was meant, and my wife gets me good sometimes. She really does. But yeah, so it's hopefully. At the end of the show, we'll give you the trivia.
Yeah,
we'll give you the right answer.
Clean it up.
Yeah. All right. Well, first off, before we even get started in whatever we're going to talk about today, I wanted to – there is a line in one of the episodes, and I did not purposely didn't tell you this.
No, he didn't tell me.
Because I wanted your...
I don't lose my spontaneity.
Your spontaneity. But there's a line in one of the episodes that... before I do this, I forgot. I told you this before the show. I said, look, I've been struggling with something with this podcast.
Okay.
And I didn't tell you what it was.
No, you didn't.
And it's silly, but I'm struggling with this in the performance part of the podcast. And here it is. I find myself, not screwing up, but I find myself when I'm talking about a character, whether I'm saying Gleason or Ralph.
Ralph, yeah.
Norton or Art Carney. And yeah. I got to figure it out.
Yeah,
like I just should just call them by their names, the character names. Yeah. Because sometimes we're talking about the actual actor.
Yeah, because it does come out. Like sometimes, like the one, we've always discussed this in the past about where there's drinking at the table.
Right.
And we've always said that's basically, it's really not. Cramden and Norton. It's Gleason and Carney.
Yes.
It's just one of those scenes.
Yeah.
So I could see that Gleason Carney, you know, Norton Cramden Norton, you know, Gleason Carney. And I can see the trade off.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It does make sense.
Absolutely.
It does make sense.
And I just realized this. I've never mentioned it on the podcast, but a man who I don't know if you know this, Harry Crane. Have you heard the name Harry Crane? Maybe I told you.
No.
He is the guy that came up with the Honeymooners concept with Gleason.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Pretty interesting. He helped, and I think he was kind of a, maybe, I don't know, not, I don't think he got credit as a writer.
Right.
But he was involved.
Okay.
Okay? So this guy, I think it was Harry Crane. I'm almost positive that's the name. If I'm wrong, it's close, but he is the only human being on the planet that could had the credits of writing for Gleason Carney, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, ooh, Martin and Lewis.
Oh, man.
Those
some resume.
That is an amazing resume. Right? And here's the kicker. He's Melissa Gilbert's grandfather.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, God.
Melissa Gilbert. I mean, he passed away. Melissa Gilbert's grandfather.
All right. Well,
and I think it was like a through marriage or something. Mm-hmm. But like that is a hell of a resume.
Oh man,
to be able, he wrote for those four comedy teams.
Yeah.
Absolute geniuses. Yeah. All different.
And
you know,
consider Gleason and Carney as a comedy team.
Comedy team? Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't look like the traditional comedy team.
Right.
But they are.
Yeah.
But they are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they actually, you see a lot of Laurel and Hardy in so many other comedy teams.
Yes.
You know what you see a lot? I saw it in Gilligan's Island all the time. With the
Skipper. He's Oliver Hardy.
He was Oliver Hardy.
And he's Oliver Hardy.
He would look into the camera. I mean, they purposely were like, you guys are going to be Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Gleason and Carney, I think it was more so. Abbott and Costello didn't resemble Laurel and Hardy at all.
No.
It was just a different thing.
Yeah.
It was sketches. Mm-hmm. So it was different.
Like that play on words things.
Yeah. And, but there was a lot of, I think there was some Laurel and Hardy in, Here's my problem again. Gleason and Carney.
Carney, okay.
And not just because Gleason was a big guy and all that, but
no, his mannerisms were Oliver Hardy.
Yeah.
They were, with the fingers and the facial expressions. And what amazes me about Gleason, being a big man, he still had, you know, with the face and like the fat face and the whole bit, but he still had facial expressions that were unbelievable.
Yes.
Just like a pantomimist. And he was, his facial expressions, how he could change it. And
yes.
That poor soul look.
Yes.
He was amazing. He was amazing.
And it wasn't like all, like you said, it wasn't just like the big, you know, the fat guy just making the fat guy face.
Yeah.
Like when he would do the thing when he would try to apologize to Alice behind her back.
Love those.
You know,
I love those.
Those were just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it was just a guy going through things in his head, trying to come up with a word or a phrase, right. And he couldn't come up with it.
And
that's gotten. And I don't know what the how much that is from Oliver Hardy, mm-hmm, or not, but it, it, he It was just so great.
Yeah,
it was so great. But that's my issue. Getting when I'm talking about it, I say Ralph or I say Jackie or Gleason or and it's I notice it because when I listen to the episodes, listen, I've been doing my other podcasts since 2005, and I listen to them. Every episode I listen to it, and it's not because I'm a narcissist. It's the complete opposite. I'm critiquing every single thing that I do, trying to improve.
Yeah.
And I find myself listening going, all right, it's Ralph.
It's Ralph.
Just say Ralph for Pete's sake. Don't even try to, because you're distinguishing between the characters and the actual actors. Because sometimes we're talking about Audrey Meadows, and then we're talking about the character Alice. So it gets in my own head.
I think, though, sometimes when you do refer to Gleason, there's some kind of greatness that you're seeing on screen that you have to attribute it to Gleason as opposed to just being the character of Ralph Kramden.
Right.
And that's the greatness that comes out. So it will make you say Gleason.
Because you feel it's a part of him.
Yes.
He's not just playing this guy.
Yeah.
You feel that he's playing a part of him.
Yep.
And so that's what I find myself. I'm like, oh, my God, Conte. What are you saying? Just get it out already. You bum. But, so I just wanted to let you know that I still have a self-loathing that has cursed me since I've been 3 years old, which is probably why I do stand-up and I'm looking for accolades from complete strangers, because if I would have gotten a couple extra hugs at home, I could have been an accountant or something. So that was my friend Otto's great line. We were all a few hugs short of not doing this and being accountants or firemen, but no, we have to look for strangers to say, you were wonderful.
It's like Uncle Floyd said that once. I should have took that job with UPS.
I know him, and I've worked with him a few times, and he's such a great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's such a I know this is not to do with the Honeymooners, but I was working with Uncle Floyd, and in New Jersey, and my father, who's still with us, is an old-school Italian guy. My dad's 78 years old. He's an old-school Italian guy, and so I said, Dad, why don't you come? He comes to some show sometime, but he hasn't grasped the language that great, but he still appreciates a good comedy. He likes the Honeymooners, watches Abbott Costello. So I said, why don't you come see Uncle Floyd? And I told him a little about it. He thinks he remembers, I remember him, and he does a lot of Italian stuff.
Yeah, Floyd speaks fluent Italian.
Fluent Italian. I go there.
As your dad.
I go to meet him, and I go to introduce them, and they start talking, and Uncle Floyd... He was living with a friend of his in a house for a while because I think he was going through a divorce.
Actually, his wife's aunt used to live next door to me in Newark.
Ah, okay. There you go.
And my house was actually in the opening credits of the Uncle Floyd show.
Get out.
Yes. They came down and filmed.
That is so cool.
Yes.
This is called the New Jersey Ties because everything is tied together in New Jersey. But when he met Uncle Floyd, they started talking.
The 6 degrees of Uncle Floyd.
The 6 degrees of New Jersey. But he goes to meet Uncle Floyd. They start talking 3 minutes into it. The family that Uncle Floyd, who's friends with, that he's staying with, my dad's known them for 40 years.
There you go.
And then they just start talking. My Nigel, what's going on? It's like, all right, there's a show that has to be on here. I don't know if you know that, Dad, so leave the star alone. Yes. So, there is one line in this one episode that is a hilarious line.
Okay.
But I don't understand the line. And I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Joe didn't tell me. He said he had this line.
Yes.
And he said, I'm not going to tell you the line.
I'm not going to tell you the line.
I want to do it because, again, our spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
So our show's all about spontaneity.
And it's a line, and it's funny, but I don't know if it's just a random thing that he's saying or there's a reason for this specific line.
Okay.
And I'll just play it.
All right.
All right.
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Alice, I don't like the way these shoes look. Where are my other ones?
They're at the shoemaker's, Ralph.
Well, you took them there last night. Aren't they ready yet?
Ralph, will you be reasonable? He couldn't possibly have finished them this fast.
He could if he paid more attention to fixing shoes instead of the Grand Opera.
That line, all right? He delivers it magnificently. The way he points.
Right.
Everything. I don't get it. And I laugh every
time.
Okay,
here's my take on that.
Okay.
Obviously, the shoemaker's Italian. And he's listening to the Grand Opera. Oh. It used to be broadcast, I believe, back in the 50s on radio.
Obviously, we're Italians.
Italians were shoemakers.
Oh, okay.
So that's the thing.
I don't know. Maybe I should know this.
Maybe.
Last name, Conti.
Conti.
That's
what that line means. Shoemakers are Italians.
And Italian because all the Italian singers.
Exactly. When it was the opera. He's the Grand Opera. People automatically are thinking Grand Opry.
Right.
This is the Grand Opera.
And what's the difference between the Opry and the... I know what
the opera is. Country music. The opera is opera.
The opera, right.
Opera, yeah. And that's, he's listening to opera because he's Italian.
He's Italian.
And that was going back to Ralph's Neighborhood.
Right.
The shoemakers would have been Italians.
Italians, yeah. That blue-collar thing that you talk about.
You know, in certain...
I'm going to write to the show and complain because my feelings were hurt as an Italian.
I was
highly offended. So now but it's still funny.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get the joke. And it was still funny because of the way... I don't know. It would have been done. Because if you think about it, she said she brought it there last night. The next morning.
The next morning.
He's expecting it. That's where I found it really funny. Like, she's like, oh, I brought it there last night. Shouldn't he have it already? What's he supposed to do? Get it done in 2 hours and deliver it, hand deliver it to his house? And that was even funny.
Yeah.
And then the Grand Opera.
The Grand Opera. That's the explanation to that. And then when on the radio, the Grand Opera. And then being Italian is probably, probably from Italy.
Right.
Listening to the Grand
There you
opera.
Go. I learned something. Maybe you learned something today. But that is great.
Yeah, that's it.
That is awesome.
That is it.
All right. The other clip I wanted to play is a clip from another episode. But see, this line, like I think we talked about everybody has their certain, and it's really, there's so many great lines. It's like trying to get your favorite episode.
I struggle with that.
But I do have a line that always stuck with me, even before I became a DEFCON 3 crazy out of my mind fan. Mm-hmm. Even when I didn't know like every episode, but I remember this line. The line always made me laugh, and me and my one friend who were always big, Honeymooner fans. We would always do that line back and forth, you know? It was always this line. And I think I told you this one.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one, this one I know.
But we'll let people hear it. And here we go.
Well, what is it, Norton?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to see it in the light. I got to find that little red line. Wait a minute.
Hey, Ralph, what's the normal temperature around 98, eh? 98.6. What would you say a bad temperature is?
102, 103. What is it, Norton? What is my temperature? What's my temperature, Norton? 111!
It's the delivery on that. And it's also visual.
Yes, because once he realizes, he starts to blubber up a little bit, and then it comes out.
Yeah.
And that line was the line that was always back in the back of my head. And then when I became DEFCON 3 crazy out of my mind fan, this was the one that I always remembered.
Okay. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, it gets a scream from the audience.
Yeah. I just always loved it. And to be honest, I remember when I really started getting into it, right? And I didn't know exactly, but TV or not TV was the one episode that I said to I used to always say, I've seen every one 5 times, maybe 10 times at the time. Maybe saw TV or not TV once.
Ooh,
I used to say, I never see the pilot episode, TV or not TV.
That's the first
never
one.
Do?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, now, but that was the last one that I really got to know.
Mm-hmm.
as much as the other ones.
Because remember, too, we're the YouTube, but we get everything on YouTube, anything we want. We can watch anyone we want.
Right.
But back in the day, we were at the mercy of what they were showing.
Yeah.
So
or your VHS, or if you recorded it.
If you recorded it, and you could play. But like, if you're just turning the show on Channel 11,
right.
You're at the mercy of what they're showing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure there are a ton of people listening that were like, oh, yeah, I had to record it like you did on
New Year's Eve.
Wake up early to finish recording. Yeah, absolutely.
But still on the OVHS tape. It took you an hour to find it anyway, to go and throw them.
Yeah, forward and you just see them all moving around quick to try to get to the episode you want to watch. But you mentioned that he cries a lot.
A lot. Norton cries in so many episodes.
Yeah. He cried in the one where Ralph tried to get him Ralph got him fired. Mind your own business. Mm-hmm. And then when he finally, he got his job back, I just want to thank you and Vinyl Leaver, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he takes off.
He cries when Ralph's making the record.
He cries with the record. Yeah. He also cried when there was another one where he pulls out his handkerchief. There were two where they were standing right in front of the door. I can't think of the other one. But, yeah, he cries a lot.
Yeah, he does all the time. Even when Norton, when he's coming in as the doctor, the fake doctor, Dr. Norton.
I don't want to go to jail. Lulu, he didn't want the needle either. He cried when he didn't want the needle either.
He must have cried in about 30 of the 39. Let me think about it. I'll have to go back and research that.
Should have been a soap opera, this thing. Oh, yes. Oh, man. But, yeah, that was my
episode. That was the hook. That was your hook
line. That was my hook. Absolutely. That was the one that hooked me. Then when I started really getting into it, then you got everything else. Yeah.
Like I said, it's a double. It's visual and it's verbal.
Yes.
If you watch the characters, like the Norton crying the way he says, and you can see Ralph's face, his eyes light up when he hears 111.
Yes.
That's the whole, it's two. It's visual and it's verbal.
Yep. Absolutely.
Great scene.
That's the way it seems it was a perfect push and pull when it came to that. Mm-hmm. Visual, verbal.
Yep.
And that's why I think some things lasted a lot longer, whether it's shows or comedies or whatever, because it had all of those aspects of it.
And sometimes, too, is that when things are visual and verbal, we can miss something. If you're just listening and not looking.
Right.
Like we always say, we always look at the off character.
Right.
Not the one who is speaking.
Right.
So when it's visual and verbal, you really have to pay attention.
Yeah.
If you've got to look and listen.
Right.
And how do you concentrate? Do you concentrate on Norton? Do you concentrate on Ralph?
But
while one's speaking, the other one's doing something else.
Yeah. And we're at a point where we've seen him so many times, and we still watch him so many times, and we can go through
him. Right.
Like you showed me, I don't think we talked about it last episode, the Mama Loves Mambo, when Mrs. Manicotti is dancing.
Yes.
When they're all dancing.
Yeah.
Now, I always, whenever I watch that, I've
picked. Like Panda.
I panned around and I remember, Alice is doing a good dance and Trixie was okay.
Fine, yeah.
The one woman, the short little lady.
At the far right.
She has absolutely horrible. No rhythm whatsoever. Noise. Like Whitney Houston had more rhythm than she did. Right? This woman had absolutely no rhythm whatsoever. She looks like she's trying to jump off a cliff, but she keeps making up her mind.
Right, I'm not going to do it.
Not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But when and obviously I would see Mrs. Manicotti.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
But when you pointed out, you said, dude, from the moment the scene starts until they stop dancing, just watch her.
I focus on her.
Now,
focus on her.
I can't. I can't look at her.
You can't take your eyes off.
It's like I'm watching Marilyn Monroe.
Well, yeah.
Where? But yeah, I'm looking like, oh my God, she is amazing.
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 Oh, it's great.
Right at the end, right before right when he starts to scream, but they don't react right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she does this thing, when she looks up.
Oh, looks up.
Like
the
she's
best.
like God is going to come down and give her a medal.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. So great. I'm so glad you pointed that out.
God.
It was just so good.
And even when she says, but Mr. Cramden, it's fun.
Yes. But Mr. Cramden, it's fun.
And I look at Ralph. Now, here I am, concentrating, but I look at Ralph when she's saying this to him.
Right.
Because he's just staring at her like, what are you, nuts, basically?
And then he goes, and you at your age. And I notice it, too, where she points at herself, like, yes, my age. Yeah. And then, boom, they all go.
This is great.
It's great. Just absolutely awesome.
You know, that's a scene. Just go back to that. That's a scene that almost everybody loves. You don't have to be a Honeymooner fan to really love that scene.
No.
Just what's going on stage.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Everything.
It's hysterical.
And even the great, like, think about it. First, you know, his face stops in the camera, and then he turns, and he's like, wait, and it's the buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Then everybody stops, and then when he's what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a knife through butter.
Yep.
Just what's going on here? And he's so physical.
Yes,
like he doesn't just say what's going on here. He moved like 4 feet in one step. Like he slid. He was almost like an ice skater. It was like he's coming in. You know, he was like, what's going on here? And then of course you know the lines go and. It is just...
Now, to get back to, again, we always mention this every week. We have to mention this. It's 1955.
Yeah.
There's a mambo craze going on during this time.
I guess, right?
Mambo, there's an episode for that one's the mambo episode.
Right.
It's also mentioned when the Weehawken
bunch... The Weehawken style of mambo
or the Bayonne bunch beat the Raccoon Lodge in the annual Raccoon Mambo contest.
Absolutely.
So it's mentioned several times.
Yep.
There is a mambo craze going on during this time period in the 50s.
Yeah, mid-50s.
So,
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in the show that are very contemporary that we may not understand historically.
Well, I didn't understand the shoemaker thing.
Yeah, the shoemaker thing. And there's a lot. Even the part where they're at the Raccoon Lodge and they have the membership drive. And Norton gets in, they go through their thing. That's saying they're too tough. Well, just in case you, Anthony Eaton couldn't be a raccoon.
I had
people like some people like, all right, who is Anthony Eaton? All right, Anthony Eaton took over for Winston Churchill as prime minister.
I had to
in
look
1955.
It up. Right, so I looked it up, and then I laughed.
Yeah, it's a contemporary joke.
Right. So they did, you know, I mean, look, most of it, 99.9% of it is timeless.
Yes, timeless.
But there are those things, couple of little slivers
that we aren't familiar today. I didn't start this. Mammy Yoakum did.
Yeah.
Now, all right. Okay. Who's Mammy Yoakum?
Yoakum, yeah.
It's Little Abner's mother from the comic show.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the thing. So you – and – but they're so sparse.
Yeah.
They're just sprinkled in there that all they do – all they are is just part of the big, big machine.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you believe we've done 26 minutes?
And
we've
talked about
nothing. Just my qualms and Uncle Floyd.
Norton
crying. Yeah. I mean, really, this is ridiculous. Why are you listening to this show? This is idiotic. What are you doing?
Uncle Floyd got more airtime than Alice.
All right. So let's do the trivia. The correct...
Yeah, we're going to try to get back on track.
We gave the wrong trivia question last week.
The answers are correct.
The answers are correct.
We repeated it.
Right.
So now we also forgot the other trivia questions that we asked because, like we said, we write nothing down here.
Yes, exactly. So now we gave the correct one for the week before.
Yeah.
But now...
we didn't get it. It was the one with the Norton's football team or no?
No. We gave that one. Okay. Mr. Douglas.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That's the one, right.
There was a when in the golfing episode when Mr. Harper breaks his ankle or chips a bone in his ankle, and a substitute. So there's a Veep comes in from the Gotham Bus Company to inform Ralph that Mr. Harper can't golf, and he's going to take his place.
Yeah.
And the question was, who was the name of the guy, the vice president that came to Ralph's store? And it's Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas, yes.
Who also flubs a line in there.
Yes.
He does flub. He flubs his one and only Honeymooner line.
Exactly. That
way to go. Way to go. Way to go, Mr. Douglas.
Chipped a bone in his ankle. And now do we have a question for this
from last week? Would have been what was Alice's maiden name?
Oh.
That was last week's question. Are we still behind one question?
No, that last week was the one that we did. We asked it again. the 728,
728 Chauncey, yeah, and 328
right.
Chauncey.
So now this one is
going to be, yeah. Yes. Well, the last one was, we think,
yes.
Was what was Alice's maiden name, and it's Gibson.
Yeah.
Gibson, yeah.
I think, yeah. I don't even know.
But yeah, because anyway. when Ralph is...
Right, when yes. Matter of record, right?
Matter of record, sending a record, and the name is Gibson.
Okay, so now do we have a question for next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, what could we do? We'll do a nice, how about a character?
How about this?
Okay.
What is the name of one of the kids on the team, and the name ended up being a character on another show 20 years later?
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, he's the one that gets the measles first.
Is he the one that gets the measles
first? I believe he's the one that gets
the
measles. Okay, set up your question. Okay, Joe. Let her rip it all. Rip it.
What do you mean?
Say the question.
Oh, so what is the name of one of the stickball team kid, one of the kids' names, who his first and last name ended up being the character on a TV show in the 70s? Huge show.
Huge show.
Huge show. And he actually, I think he was also a name of a WWE.
Oh, a wrestler, sure.
Wrestler?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yes.
Boom. Yeah.
I don't want to give it out, but yeah. I was going to say something. I'm going to quote myself.
So that's it. So.
Yeah. He's the first one that got the measles.
Was he the first one that got the measles? All right, so that could be part of it.
Remember, yes, Ralph, he could play. I'll just give you a hint. He was the second baseman.
Oh, yes. You think he could cover
really
second
base?
Chuck Knoblauch. Is that him? Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you, everybody. We went a little long tonight. We did over 30 minutes, but thank you for hanging in there. We kind of went off a little tangent with Uncle Floyd and all that, but thank you for giving us a listen. Episode number 7, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.